motion to come back into public session for the public hearing this afternoon?
Yes, I'm, I have to make the motion.
Motion, Mrs. Deaver, second, Mr. Cole. Any questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Phillips.
Yes.
Wilson.
Yes.
I would, yes, motion carried. Mr. Moore.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'd like to review the rules of procedure for our zoning hearings. When the council holds public hearings on zoning applications, they are legislative hearings because council uses the information obtained during the hearings to decide whether to adopt an ordinance to amend a comprehensive zoning map in the manner requested by the applicant. Each application will be announced. The director, in this case, Mr. Abbott, will review with council the minutes and testimony from the planning and zoning hearing, and those minutes will be made part of the record along with any exhibits introduced at the planning and zoning hearing and any recommendation made by the commission. The applicant will be called on to present and explain their application and present reasons supporting their application. Council may question the applicant and their witnesses. After the applicant has presented their application, council will provide an opportunity for anyone else who favors the application to speak. After that, any persons who oppose or question the application will be allowed to state the reasons for their opposition or questions. After that, there will be no rebuttal by the applicant, and the hearing will be closed unless council decides to leave the record open for a specific purpose and time period. Further, the applicant will not be allowed to question persons who speak in opposition, and persons who speak in opposition will not be allowed to question the applicant or their witnesses. If you intend to speak, you're required to come to the front and stand at the speaker's stand and state your name and home address before you make a statement. If you represent or speak for a group or organization, please identify who you represent. When you make your statement, please be concise. Do not repeat yourself. If you have a written statement, hand it to Mr. Abbott, and it will be made part of the record. If there is more than one witness for the applicant or more than one person in opposition, please do not repeat points that a prior speaker has already stated. All persons in attendance should conduct themselves in an orderly fashion. No applause or other disruptive behavior is permitted. If you have a cell phone, pager, beeper, or other telephonic device with you, please take the time now to turn it off or switch it to silent service. At the conclusion of the hearing on each application, council may either approve it, deny it, or defer it to a later date. If the Planning and Zoning Commission deferred action, council will do likewise. And the first hearing today is conditional use number 1942, filed on behalf of Douglas L. Boozer. Mr. Abbott?
This is an application to consider the conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for storage, maintenance, and general office for a contracting excavating service to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Broadkill 100, Sussex County, containing 10.56 acres more or less, lying south of Huff Road, 2,000 feet west of Route 30, and it's identified as tax map 235, map 24, parcel 39.13. The Planning Commission held their public hearing on this application August 23rd. The applicant submitted an exhibit booklet, which I've passed down for your review, along with a copy of the site plan. The applicant and a representative of Pannoni Associates were present, and they gave a presentation and responded to questions raised by the commission. There were no parties present in support of or in opposition to this application. On August the 23rd, the commission deferred action for further consideration. On September 13th, the commission discussed this application under old business, and Mr. Smith stated that he would move that the commission recommend approval of CU 1942 for Douglas Boozer for storage, maintenance, and a general office for contracting and excavating services based upon the record made at the public hearing and for the following reasons. One, the proposed conditional use will provide a service to Sussex County residents and businesses. In addition to contracting and excavating, the applicant is a licensed septic installer. He also provides snow removal services for county businesses and residents. Two, the project with the conditions and stipulations placed upon it will not have an adverse impact on the neighboring properties or community. It is in the center of a predominantly wooded area, and there are no houses in close proximity to the use. Three, the operation of the business will not generate a significant increase in traffic or noise, since the majority of the work will be conducted off-site. Four, no parties appeared in opposition to the application, and there were actually several letters in support of it. This recommendation for approval is subject to the following conditions and stipulations. A, there will only be one unladed sign on the premises that shall not exceed 32 square feet on each side. B, any security lights shall only be installed on the building and shall be screened so that they do not shine on neighboring properties. C, the hours of operations shall be 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday through Friday and 7 a.m. to 2 p.m. on Saturday. D, all loading areas, storage areas, and trash container areas shall be screened by the existing wooded vegetation currently located on the site with a minimum vegetated buffer of at least 50 feet from all property lines. The buffer area shall be shown on the final site plan. E, as stated by the applicant, all repair work shall be performed inside of the building. F, all entrances and roadway improvements required by DLDOT shall be completed by the developer as required by DLDOT. G, stormwater management and erosion and sediment control facilities shall be constructed in accordance with all applicable state and county requirements and shall be maintained utilizing best management practices. And the last one, the final site plan, shall be subject to the review and approval of the Planning and Zoning Commission. As I stated, there was a motion and a second. This carried 3-0 to forward the application to the council with the recommendation that it be approved for the reasons and with the conditions stated. And that motion carried 3-0 as Mr. Burton and Mr. Johnson were absent. On August the 31st, we received a memorandum from the Sussex Conservation District. They indicate that the soils on the site are Woodstown loam. With respect to erosion and sediment control, the applicant would be required to follow a recommended erosion sediment control practices during any construction and to maintain vegetation after any construction. There is no storm flood hazard area or tax ditch affected. It would not be necessary for any off-site drainage improvements, and it may be necessary for on-site drainage improvements. And that's all we received to date.
Any questions from council? If not, Mr. Davidson.
Good afternoon. I'm Mark Davidson with Pannoni Associates. Office is located actually right across Puff Road from this piece of property in Milton, Delaware. With me today is Mr. Douglas Boozer. He's up to my right here. He is the owner of the property, and he's also the owner of Boozer Excavation Services. Again, we are here today to present a conditional use application in an agricultural residential district on 10.56 acres located on Huff Road for Boozer's Excavation Company. The property is located on the south side of Huff Road, approximately 2,000 feet west of Delaware Route 30, and it's approximately 2.5 miles east of Sand Hill Road. In the packets that I had turned in, there's an aerial map, and I've got an aerial map up here. You'll notice that this site is predominantly wooded, and we're talking about 10.5 acres here that I have highlighted in the blue. And it's also located it's surrounded by mostly wooded parcels in the area as well. The site is in an investment level 4 area according to the strategies for state policies and spending. Mr. Boozer has been living on Huff Road for approximately 19 years, and actually he lives almost across from the subject property, which is this panhandle lot here. That's where Mr. Boozer resides at this time. Also, Mr. Boozer does own the 16 acres. West side this time. Directly across the street, across the road, is 23 acres of land that I personally own, that I have a conditional use to operate our engineering and surveying office off of. Just a little bit about Mr. Boozer and his company. Mr. Boozer, he currently has a Class A percolation testing license, his Class B septic designer license, and his Class E septic installer license, all with the all with Denerac. He is also a certified construction reviewer with the state of Delaware and is licensed to construct stormwater and sediment and erosion control in the state of Delaware. He started his company approximately 12 years ago with a Bobcat, a pickup, and a trailer out of his home. In the 2007 Sussex County Comprehensive Plan update, the primary uses envisioned in low density level 4 areas are confined to businesses addressing the needs of agriculture activities and single family detached homes. Mr. Boozer's excavation company does primarily lot clearing and final grading for home builders in the area. He excavates footers, foundations, digs basements for some local contractors in the area. He also installs gas tanks for several gas companies in the area for single family residences. He does lot clearing. He does do small single family demolition jobs. So, and he also assists the area soil scientists in doing infiltrometer testing on single family homes. Mr. Boozer also does some farming on a couple of farms in the Georgetown area. The subject property right now in the existing building is where Mr. Boozer keeps his farm equipment at this time.
But that's not the site of the business. It's going to be.
Yes, right.
Oh, that is the site.
Yeah,
that's right where it's
right
going
now
to be.
He uses it for.
Okay.
His business has picked up whereby he has added a total of 5 employees and has purchased his own transportation equipment and has the need to be able to park equipment at the end of the day and to be able to do maintenance on his equipment and just do some general office work. His employees used to meet him on site, but now Mr. Boozer has purchased his own transportation equipment to be able to move his equipment, so they need to be able to come to the office and be able to pick up the equipment. A little bit about the site. On the site plan, the site currently has an existing dugout entrance, and then any upgrades as part of this approval for this application will go through dugout. At the entrance, he has an existing gate already on site that comes all the way back to the property. As you can see, again, he's going to use the existing building in the area back there for his business, which is surrounded by woods. So. Sort of in the middle of this woods, he's about 450 feet back from Huff Road. The closest to any property line is about 178 feet with the building to any property line. We have offered up easements, a buffer around the entire property where if he does expand his business at any time, he'll never go any closer than 50 feet within his property, within the boundary line. Within the booklet, I've also submitted some an approved site evaluation for septic systems, and I do show on the site plan a couple of areas here where he can possibly put a septic system in the future. Right now, he doesn't have a need for a septic system, so he's going to have a porta potty and licensed through a licensed company to be on site for his employees. Again, during the day, they're out at job sites, so they're only there in the morning at the end of the day, dropping and picking up equipment. He does have an existing well located on the site, and it was as permitted by Denerac. As Mr. Abbott stated, that the conditions that were approved by the Planning Commission, Mr. Boozer, a couple of those talk about the hours of operation, and his hours of operations will be 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday through Friday, 7 to 2 on Saturday. Just a couple of the others that I've already mentioned. Kept to the 32 square foot, and that was one of the conditions, and he's okay with that. And finally, just like to add that along with some of the support letters that we submitted with the application that was sent in, I'd like to say that, you know, I've been there since 1997, and Doug is definitely an asset to the community. If you've been down Huff Road, if you've ever driven down it, you'll notice that the trees are close to the road. And we do have trees that blow over, and who knows, after today, there may be a few that are down. And Doug is always there to pick those trees up and keep the road open. Snow removal has never been a problem. He's always been there. He removes snow from my parking lot all the time, so it's he's definitely an asset to the community. So with that, if you can answer any questions that you might have.
To refresh my memory, does Huff Road have much of a shoulder on it, on either side?
There is no shoulder.
Nothing?
No, not at all.
Any other questions from council? Mr. Davidson, did you have anyone else that would like to present?
No, that's it.
Is there anyone else here today that would like to speak in favor of this application? Anyone else here that would like to speak in favor of the application? Is there anyone here today that would like to speak in opposition to this application? Anyone here that would like to speak in opposition? Seeing none, Mr. President, at this time the public hearing is concluded, and with council's pleasure, we can close the record.
We'll close public hearing, and this pleasure, council, close public record?
Yes.
Okay. Would you read the short title, Mr. Moore?
Yes. This is an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for storage, maintenance, and general office for contracting / excavating services to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Broadkill 100, Sussex County, containing 10.56 acres more or less, with conditions as read by Mr. Abbott, and they are numbered 5A through H on page 3 and 4 of the handout today.
Entertained motion, council?
Got it.
Yeah, second.
Motion, Mr. Wilson. Second, Mrs. Deaver, to approve CU 1942.
With those conditions.
Any question on the motion, Mrs. Deaver? You have a question?
The way it's worded, it says storage and maintenance, but maintenance of the equipment, is that what that's about? What are we maintaining?
Mr. Abbott, from the application?
It would be maintenance of his equipment.
Maintenance of his equipment?
Yes.
No other kind of, and no other kind of maintenance work of any kind? I mean, no.
You mean like some, a neighbor bringing a car in and maintaining?
Well, I don't know. It just, it doesn't say maintenance of what, you know, so.
For the maintenance of all his equipment.
Uh-huh.
Should we?
Do we need to put that in there?
Yeah, it might be for a future, somebody reading it in the future. Could you add something in there? We clarify that, I guess. That seems to be the intent. Everybody's nodding in agreement.
That's what he meant.
Mrs. Deaver, will you withdraw your second?
Yes, I will do that.
Wilson, withdraw your motion. Mr. Moore, if you can make some kind of a.
Thank you.
We should have done that before the fact, if you want to do this kind of thing in the future.
Oh, yeah, that's true, that's true, that's true. But it is a good point. We should put it in.
The best place would add it on item E, and it would state that all maintenance work shall be for the applicant's own use of his own equipment.
Yes, that covers it.
Any issue with that from your perspective? Okay. We're fine with that. The applicant's fine with it.
Okay. I would take a motion to amend the conditions.
Motion. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I have a motion, Mrs. Deaver, second.
Yes, Mr. second. Cole.
And before you vote, I'll read that so everyone's clear.
Thank
as
you.
Stated by the applicant, all repair work shall be performed inside of the building, that all maintenance shall be for the applicant's own use on his own equipment.
Question on that? Mm-hmm. We'll take the vote. Mrs. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Pablo, yes. Motion carried. Now we'll have an entertaining motion to approve CU 1942 with the conditions as amended.
That's correct.
You got it.
Second.
Motion, Mr. Wilson. Second, Mrs. Deaver. Any questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mrs. Deaver?
I vote yes, and I think planning and zoning did an excellent job of protecting this very beautiful neighborhood. And with the conditions and the, as amended.
Cole. I'll vote yes for the same reasons.
Mr. Phillips.
I'll vote yes, it's an appropriate use with the conditions.
Mr. Wilson.
I vote yes on recommendation PMZ.
Based on plans and recommendations and with the conditions as amended, I also agree with that. Vote yes, motion carried. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. The next application is conditional use number 1943 on behalf of Charles L. Williams. Mr. Abbott.
This is an application to consider the conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for automotive repair shop garage to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Lewis and Rehoboth Hundred, Sussex County, containing 1.56 acres more or less, lying north end of Summer Place, a private road 265 feet north of Road 291, and being approximately 3,000 feet east of Route 5. And this property is identified as tax map ID number 3-34, map 9, parcel 1.03. I'll pass down a copy of the site plan. The Planning Commission held their public hearing August 23rd of this year. The commission received comments from DelDOT. Mr. Lang advised the commission he'd sent the applicant a letter and which activities that could be performed at the garage. Mr. Lang provided the commission with a copy of that letter. He also provided an aerial photograph of the site. There was a packet received of 7 letters in support of the application. There was also a packet of 64 letters received in opposition to this application. 34 of those letters were on a form letter, 15 were based on another form letter, 5 were submitted by individual neighbors, and 10 of the letters were submitted by individuals. Since the public hearing, we received 1 additional letter in support and 10 additional letters in opposition for a total of 8 in support and 74 opposed. I have copies of those. We can pass those down for your review.
I've seen them all already.
If you want us to copy them,
yes,
Lawrence asked that instead of wasting paper.
Very helpful.
But if anybody would want any copies, the staff can make those for you. The applicant was present with an attorney. They gave a presentation and responded to questions raised by the commission. You have a copy of that report. There were 10 people present that spoke in support of this opposition, and there were also 10 parties present that spoke in opposition to the application. On August 23rd, the commission deferred action for further consideration. And on September 13th, the commission reviewed this application under old business, and it was once again deferred for further consideration since there were only 3 members present. Mr. Burton and Mr. Johnson were absent. And we received a memorandum on August 31st from the Sussex Conservation District. The soils on this site are pepper box. With respect to erosion and sedimentation control, that the applicant would be required to follow recommended erosion and sediment control practices during any construction and to maintain vegetation after any construction. It would not be necessary for any off-site or on-site drainage improvements, and there's no storm flood hazard area or a tax ditch affected. And that's all we received to date.
Okay, are there any questions from council?
Well, I guess we'll find out who owns what here, because I'm not too sure from this, but I guess we'll find out in testimony.
Okay. If there are no questions, Mr. Brady.
Good afternoon, Mr. President, Mr. Vice President, honorable members of council. I'm here on behalf of the applicant, Charles L. Williams. There's been a lot of misinformation about this application. As Mr. Abbott reported, there were a lot of form letters that came in, and on those form letters, the letters that were sent to people to get them to fill out that form letter, they started off with, I guess you know Charles Williams has applied for a zoning change. This is not a zoning change, as council would well know. This is a conditional use of an existing garage that was built in compliance with all county codes over 4.5 years ago. There were complaints this spring about the garage, and it was complaints went to planning and zoning, and planning and zoning and a ruling came out saying that if he wanted to use it for commercial purposes, he'd have to have a conditional use. But he could use it for maintenance, for as he was not getting any monies for the maintenance. There are four bays in the garage. There's spaces for four vehicles in the garage to be worked on. And I guess what in reading the county code, and what I think a lot of the people were under the misimpression, is that if you grant the conditional use, it comes with restrictions. All the restrictions can be put on by planning and zoning and this honorable council. So right now, there are no restrictions. So if a friend comes over for an oil change at 1 o'clock in the morning, it can happen. But if conditional use is granted for this property, it can happen, because normally you will put on the hours, as was the previous conditional use you just voted upon, reasonable hours during the daytime, no hours on Sunday, and a part day on Saturday, as is found in existing if it was approved in the B1 area. So the misinformation, I think, has gotten a lot of people to send in letters saying they're opposed because they don't want their area becoming commercial. There are several witnesses here for the applicant. There are a number of people here in opposition. And I surmise that because I know who's here favoring the applicant. And with nothing else on your agenda, I'm just surmising there are a lot of people here because a lot of the same faces testified at both the planning and zoning and the Board of Adjustment. What wasn't stated by Mr. Abbott, which I am stating for full transparency, was this came in front of the Board of Adjustment last week. And when they did the final lineup, and one corner of that garage is about 6 crackers off, I think was what I said last week, 3 by 3 inches, total of 6 inches off of the side border. So it's pending in front of the Board of Adjustment to have a variance for 6 inches on one corner of the building, being that the building is 4.5 years old and the mistake wasn't called until this year when all the complaints were filed by a couple of the neighbors who you'll be hearing from. And he came in and filed all the paperwork to do this. Mr. Williams was horribly injured in a work site accident and so can't work. So what he did was, after he sold some property, ironically, to one of the people opposing this, build a garage so his friends could come over, work on their vehicles, and have a safe indoor place to work on vehicles. Right now, there's no restriction, as I said, on the number of vehicles that can be there, on the hours of use, or the operations. And if the conditional use is granted, that actually benefits the community, the people on Martin's Farm Road, because restrictions can be put in place. Mr. Williams has asked that he be allowed to address also. My notes here say stop, hand small map to county attorney for distribution. So I will follow what my notes say with the proper protocol.
Thank you.
Some of the other issues came up was there were horses on surrounding properties. And one of the complainants owned 5 horses, and apparently in that area, you're only allowed to have 4 horses, so a horse had to be taken away from the property. That wasn't because of a complaint of my client. That was that the inspector saw the horses, counted them, and then looked up what was permitted in that area.
Whose property?
Ms. Folk's property. There was a complaint. I'm trying, and I'm going to make a couple comments on what was stated at planning and zoning, because this is my only chance to rebut that testimony. There are no abandoned cars on the property. There was a complaint about abandoned cars. The issue with the horse, there was an issue from another gentleman, the neighbor should not generate noise. There are witnesses here that another neighbor's bush hog was done chipping trees right next to the horses, and that would have been a louder thing than the occasional car going up and down the driveway, because this is a fully enclosed garage, and with the conditional use, the doors, one of the requirements would be the doors have to be closed while operations are going on in the garage, but not now. Although he does close the doors to avoid any noise getting out. Chicken houses and horses nearby, and oil and fluids will seep in the ground. You've heard the report today from the Soil Conservation District that, well, it speaks for itself, the report today, but it does not appear that there needs to be anything done except just some planting to make sure, and there's not a leakage problem with the type of, say, soil, the loam of in the area is not one of the ones where there could be an issue. No businesses should be on this road, even though 24 House Away is another conditional use, 1784, and that person is listed as one of our witnesses today. He runs an engine repair shop, and he runs the same similar hours that we had suggested for condition on the operation of the. Also, there was a complaint that the pole barn is bigger than what the county allows. Looked at the code, there is no size limit as to what a pole barn can be, as long as it complies. A proper building permit was issued 4 years ago, actually in 2006, and the certificate of occupancy was granted in February of 2007. So, to the extent that it would increase crime in the area, I don't know how to respond to that. You think it's, we are in a relatively safe county. The county council has provided for appropriate police protection through the different contracts that they do. It is an area served by the Delaware State Police, and I don't think that's an issue to deny a conditional use. And, you know, misinformation. Okay, if you're saying you're asking for a zoning change, and it's not, it's a conditional use, I've always learned they're two different things. And the restrictions that you can do there, again, planning and zoning, and the assistant county attorney found that Mr. Williams violated no codes or ordinances as alleged in the documents that were filed for his building, for his permits, or his operations. This is being done out of an abundance of caution. Mr. Williams also is a volunteer minister at a local church in Oak Orchard, and some of the people come over there and have their oil change done. The basic part of this conditional use would be as follows, that if somebody wanted to pay him for the use of the garage, they could pay him to come in and change it. He's not going to do, he may have a mechanic there, he's not going to be doing any service on the vehicles. It's going to be done indoors in the garage. But right now, the garage can be used for that services. He's just not allowed to, under the county ordinance, take any remuneration for it. This would permit him to do that, if he should so desire. And with that, I'd ask Mr. Williams asked to be able to address this honorable council, and I'd ask if I could yield to him, Mr. Moore.
Yes.
Charles Williams, 19833 Summer Place, Milton, Delaware, 19968. And yeah, I've looked forward to this day. A couple clarifications. My permit was sought after in November of 2007, and the certificate of occupancy was issued in January of 2008. And it was for a pole barn. And we've heard lots of complaints about the size of my pole barn. And at the variance, or the Board of Assessment hearing, the code was read and it was clear. This is not an issue for a 900 square foot garage as been brought up in the last two hearings. But a couple things that I would just like to start with. My nearest neighbor is Mr. Robert Walker Jr., who you will hear from. him and I share a joint driveway. I sold the land to Margaret Folk and her companion, and they in turn sold the property to Mr. Robert Walker. And his complaint was is that there may be problems with his girlfriend is pregnant, and when a child is born, there may be problems with people coming down the driveway that he don't know who or what they are, and that there may be an inference. But I suggest to you that Mr. Weaver, who testified, who lives 300 feet away, testified before this court, and I well, as I believe, as Mr. Kane, both of these men live on a sharp corner within 300 feet. There have been many accidents on this corner, and I mean many. I've probably seen five or six, and cars rolled over and on their sides. If I was Mr. Walker, I'd be more concerned of someone going up that road and coming through my house than anyone who would come up and down a driveway. And next was Mr. Layton. Mr. Layton complained about abandoned cars on that property. I have no abandoned cars. I provided you, this council, with letters of Google Earth from 2010. I did have too many cars on my property. I did not know I was violating the law. And when I found out I was violating the law, I asked the inspector on a Friday, I said, you come back on Monday, it'll be solved. He came back on Monday, the problems were solved. I dispersed those cars throughout, and that happened. So then Mr. Capano complained about noise. Now this is surprising. I have a witness in the back. On September 9th, the neighbor next to Mr. Folk, Mr. Friedman, Kenny Friedman, was out with his bush hog, which he's done, I'm going to guess, 15, 20 times, cutting up trees, mulching trees down, 3-4 inch trees, and these horses are 25 yards away, and they could care less. Unbelievable. This, I mean, the noise from a bush hog is incredible when you're chopping up, mulching up trees, roots, and all these things. And I felt like that was necessary to say. So noise is not even an issue for conditional use in this matter. That should be off of the table. Mr. Weaver also proposed things about the chicken house, and we know the chicken houses are dirty, but I turned in documents, or not documents, I sent emails to show this council and planning and zoning the inside of my garage. My garage has floors that are epoxied. There's no oils on the floor. I take pride in my garage, in my pole barn. There's no need for anything. The only question that was raised in that regard is where is exhaust fumes going to go? If a hole needs to be put in my door, I told the men on the commission of planning and zoning that I will do whatever restrictions they need. I said, I welcome restrictions, because right now I have none. I have neighbors who complain. Beginning in 2010, they complained about the cars. I got rid of them. Ended up having to sell some of them and disperse them, and I still have a couple here and there on different people's property. So that complaint has been narrowed down to nothing. I've had Chief Inspector Sue Isaacs and a county constable, Dawn Hudson, out to inspect my property, and they simply, their words are, they're amazed at how clean my garage/pole barn is. Mr. Kane complained that there should be no businesses on Martin's Farm Road, and yet on that paper that was just passed around to you, this council, shows that Mr. Hayes, who owns the small engine repair shop, 2,400 feet away. I personally know of there's six other businesses that are operating between Mr. Hayes and myself who have never filed for conditional use. I filed this petition because I've been called a liar. I've been called a cheat, that I am taking money, and that I am taking money away from my child, not reporting it as child support. I'm robbing the state of tax money. And I contacted the county to find out what do I need to do. And I'm telling you the truth, and I always will. The first one that ever told me about conditional use was Miss Folk's boyfriend, George, sitting right over here. He's the first one that said, why don't you file for conditional use? And now that I've stirred up the whole community. And I've been told even parts of Sussex County. I was told 2 weeks ago that there was a petition table set up over in Georgetown for people to sign petitions against me, that people that don't even know me or my circumstances. I'm astounded at what's happened. The signs that are out in my front yard, even Mr. Kane, his sign, as you come around the corner on Martin Farm Road, says stop zoning change from AR1 to C1. It's been a lie from the beginning. excuse me. Mr. Kane has argued that my pole barn is bigger than the county allows. It was read in the hearing last Monday night. There is no size restrictions for the pole barn. Then it was brought to the attention of the fire marshal that maybe my building is too close to the fire marshal. I went to the fire marshal, and as it exists, I have no violations whatsoever. As I arrived here today, I stopped and got my mail, and I got an invitation from the electrical inspector to come out and have my building inspected for my electrical, that I'm in violation. I have no violations. I welcome that. I welcome them to come so that they can see what's taking place here. So proposed crime in the area. This is a big one. Here's why I say that. Mr. Kenneth Friedman lives next to Ms. Folk, who is two houses over from me. Mr. Kenneth Friedman, 3 months ago, came to me and says, Charles, he said, did you hear any commotion over there on the property last week? And I said, no, Kenny, I have not. He said, well, he said, someone has stolen my frame bending machine. There's no conditional use for having that kind of equipment use on his property. But he said, he went on to tell me that my son is probably the person that stole that. He said, my son has a drug issue. So if when it comes to crime in this area, the only crime that I know of is what Mr. Friedman had warned me about, to please pay attention. I said, go next door and look. They have cameras all over the place. You should be able to find your criminal. Mrs. Folk, in her letter addressed to this county, to Mr. Cole, complained about my private garage. It's a pole barn. It's a pole barn. The next complaint that I received was that I don't have any right to use the right-of-way. Please open up your survey there. I'll answer any questions that you have. You see on there listed right-of-way. I provided planning and zoning with a deed to my property. I provided a copy of Mr. Walker's deed to planning and zoning to show that there is a right-of-way. It's not the private drive that they're recommending that it is. Mrs. Folk has been deeply concerned about the C1 zoning change. I've seen the letters that what I believe has transpired, because I have friends who got the letters that as she went down the road to try to get people to sign against me, the cover letter said Charles is changing from AR1 to C1 zoning change. So the premise of those letters against me that you have are a lie. I thought they should be thrown out. That's just me. I don't know the letter of the law. I'm only representing what I believe right here. I was told there have been, my application is number 1,943. There's been 1,900 applications for conditional use in this county, over 1,500 of them approved. I'm asking to do the right thing in and around my community so that I can lessen the effect of the complaints from my neighbors. I believe that Mrs. Folk tainted all of the cover sheets by presenting those petitions in that manner. And then just 3 weeks ago, I come outside and there's a Miss Joan Deaver's email address is on her signs out front. And I believe that that tainted my whole community as well. That please contact Joan Deaver at comcast.net is what the sign said. That taints the community, as though Miss Deaver is already against me. Miss Folk has also misappropriated the use of this council's email address by providing that, and along with a phone number. Tainted pictures of cars. There's a claim made, I guess it's in your packet there, G or H, of a 67 Chevelle my friend pulled up on August 16th, just came over to show off this car that he just bought for $15,000. Pops the hood, he's got a 396 under the hood. Come on, we're a bunch of gearheads. No work's being done, but that letter claims that there's work being done on that car. There's no work being done. I don't work on cars. I have a host of friends around me who are some of the sharpest mechanics in Sussex County. There are two guys sitting on that back row back there. One of them owns four cars, the other one owns five, and my best friend that lives here in Sussex County, him and his family own five cars. She calls them customers when they come down my driveway. I call them friends because they don't know whose car that is coming down a driveway. So that's where I stand on that. And each of us, I got to add this too. It didn't come out in county council. I mean, in planning and zoning. Need some water. But, Miss Folk owns a Prius. Mr. DeFring, the man that's lived with her for 32 years, has brought that car to my garage, my pole barn, to have air put in the tires. Mr. DeFring has brought their tractors to that garage, and my friends have had them repaired. Next door neighbor, Robbie Ramonde, has repaired their lawnmowers. They have trailers that's been wired from the events that happened at my garage. His tractor, his Kubota tractor, was brought over and found to have both differentials completely out of gear oil, empty. All this was done for free. In the letter that she wrote to Ms. Hilda Delgado, she wrote, "Charles does a lot of work for free," because that's true. I am a benefit to this community. Mr. Lank, in turn, he did find me that I was not operating an illegal business. And these guys have been out to my place 5 times, even with surprise inspections. I offered a set of keys to Ms. Isaacs and Ms. Hudson so they could come anytime they want. Now back to Mr. Friedman, who lives next door. In our conversation with Mr. Friedman said that he indeed had a survey done on his property and he had subdivided, and that he in turn is going to sell the back portion of his 4.37 acres to Ms. Folk, who in turn then will own 11.93 acres. And there's also a 50-foot right-of-way granted in that as well. So what no one has known in all of these petitions is the underlying motive that she's going to want to subdivide. She doesn't need me to have a garage / pole barn, because in her own words, it will devalue property in the area. She wrote a letter to Ms. Hilda Delgado, my next door neighbor, that says each one of your acres is worth $100,000. Hilda, do you know that you have $500,000 worth of property there? So Mr. Kenny Friedman, Mr. Friedman said, "Charles, I am going to give them the 4.37 acres, so it's all I got to do is turn the key on the other acre that I subdivided so that no money is going to exchange hands on their behalf. But I gladly will accept any restrictions that you guys place on me." And my absolute reasons for conditional use, my number one is that I'm a Christian, and that I have to abide by the laws that the state has put in place. And it says I am not allowed to exchange $1 with anyone else, or there's business transaction. Actually, an attorney that used to represent planning and zoning said it's called commerce. That, Charles, you need to file for an application for conditional use. That's why I'm here today. He says there should be little or no rational objection to you exchanging money. But I have to do what's necessary. I had to do what I have to do to be where I am here today. And I'm not going to be the one doing the work. I already have an employee picked out. He was here at the last hearing. He's a working man. He's there today at his job. And I want to be in compliance with the code. That's number one reason. And also, these things increase my self-worth. I can't define that for you. It's a place for me and my friends to gather around. We call ourselves gearheads. There's a big sign on my wall that says, that my daughter made for me, says, "Chazzy Will's Man Cave." Because that's exactly what it is. My friends assist others with their automotive concerns. And I might add, Mr. Walker sitting right here, his car's been in the garage several times. He'll even show you the checks where my friends repaired his car. And yet they're the very ones that are against me. They want the benefit, but they don't want me there. This will provide an opportunity for me to supplement my income, as little as it may be. 10, 20 bucks for someone to use my lift. But my key is that I don't want to be known as a lawbreaker, that I've been called over and over again. I listed with county planning and zoning all of the concerns of potential conditional use, potential concerns. Okay, customers we have to use that terminology. I don't want a business license. I don't want customers. I got friends. But I have to use that terminology because I had to file an application. They'll be asked to be gentle when I leave the driveway. Every one of those guys that are sitting back there that'll testify have been asked to leave my driveway gently. There's been one occasion where someone turned around in the driveway. That's true. That's true. There's been one occasion where someone was supposed to meet me there and he pulled off on Mr. Walker's property. That's true as well. I have nothing to hide. Based on the previous history of my garage, it's been there, my pole barn, for 4.5 years. There's just not really been that many issues. I did have too many cars on the property. I resolved it. I expect and welcome restrictions from this county council. As far as noise, there should be not even a question of air guns or noise or startling horses. I have a man up the street at the Peck resident who fires off a 50 caliber gun that you can hear for 3/4 of a mile or a mile. And sometimes that startles me, let alone a horse. So I only have my personal unregistered motor vehicles on the property. I have three on the property, two that are outside. One's undercover, and because it's undercover, it's not considered an unregistered motor vehicle because it's covered on three sides. I've heard the argument. I read what my, I guess, opponent has turned in against me, that I can't even count. There's three cars on the property. Sorry, there's not. There's two. They're my personal vehicles. Every one of those cars that was on that sheet that I gave to you guys originally from Google Earth were my seven personal vehicles. And I just believe there should be no rational objection to someone having conditional use on Martin's Farm Road, because this is what people do when they want to come in compliance with the codes, when they want to get right with the law, in other words. Am I saying it was a lawbreaker? I can tell you this. I had accepted money before, and the moment I found out that I was wrong, I went straight to my neighbors and I apologized. I said, you were right. I was wrong. I humbled myself and then started gathering the money together to provide you that survey right there. Cost me $400. So,
thank you.
Okay, thank you. Any questions?
Thank you. Are there any questions from counsel of this witness?
What are we talking? Are we talking about him exchange having a business or not? I mean, I hear somebody wrote checks for
business
repairs.
Will be conducted on that.
I mean, we're talking about conducting business. This is what the CU is for. Is what I understand. I hear it is and it isn't. So it's just
in the
my
past.
Friend.
There were a couple of transactions, and when the investigation was done earlier this year, that was the thing that spurred it. And when he was advised from planning and zoning that he was not permitted unless he had a conditional use, he ceased that.
Mm-hmm. But he wants to continue.
He would like to be able to do that, and that would put restrictions on it that council could recommended out of planning and zoning, or council could impose their own restrictions. And I think really,
but it would be a repair garage, wouldn't it?
It would not be the type of garage. It's not going to turn into a garage where you have service 24 hours a day. What it would be was during limited hours of operations, and the mechanic that he's talked about using that could be using there has a full-time job during the day. So it would probably only be a few hours in the evening and a few hours on the weekend. But
the question, it would be a repair garage, would it not?
They could come into the garage and do it, but the restrictions are, since they're, when you say a repair garage, it's not.
The definition of the use, I'm just asking what the definition would be, but we have a long way to go. We have a lot of testimony.
May I add, there's nowhere on there for me to put in a place for Charles and his buddies to come hang out. Those words had to be used, repair garage. I asked for four cars a week. They can put that restriction around me. I'll live by that. 4 cars a week. Thank you, Mr. Brady.
You have mentioned on numerous times during your discussion, and your witness did as well, concerning the restrictions. Did you submit any proposed restrictions?
Because the record was closed to planning and zoning, I submitted restrictions at that planning and zoning hearing, and they were incorporated, I believe, into the record and that was what was passed on. I handed up a sheet of restrictions. I also acknowledged the general B1 restrictions could be put in place as well. The restrictions, as I call, were a limitation on the number of vehicles that could be worked on at any time, a limitation on the hours. All work had to be done indoors, and all requirements of B1, and that it'd be generally daytime hours, which would be like 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. Monday to Friday, and then hours on Saturday, no hours on Sunday. I also put in a suggestion that there would be a unlit sign, if there was a sign, and that would be located at the bottom of the driveway, that there would be a, there was a suggestion about speed bumps or other things that could slow down the traffic on the shared driveway, and restrictions on the number that the doors would have to be closed at any time that there were vehicles being worked on.
Unless you have an exhaust, I can't.
Well, you still close the door, but you would hook the exhaust up to the exit point. There was a request that the fire marshal check it, and the fire marshal has checked it, and they were turned in, Mr. Moore, before.
What did he say, fire marshal?
Fire marshal said if the conditional use is granted, they would want to come out and have a additional
firewall. I mean, a 2-hour burn-through firewall put up on the inside of my garage.
On the side facing the house, I believe.
Yes, inside of my garage, though.
Right.
Who owns the driveway?
The driveway is, as I understand from the deed, the driveway is on, coming up to Mr. Williams, is owned by Mr. Williams down to the point where Mr. Walker owns it out to the street, but there is a covenant in the deed that permits use of that driveway by Mr. Williams to his house.
All right, so you're implying that if about a sign, you'd put a sign out.
It could be.
I don't know if we have the ability to do that because he doesn't own the. Don't
no, I don't want no signs. I don't want any signs.
Okay, that would end that issue. That's the end of that issue. Okay.
Yes, thank you.
Couldn't the building have a sign on it?
I don't want a sign.
Can't see it back over.
This is me and my friends.
Mr. Moore, since Mr. Williams referenced the letter to Ms. Delgado, I'll offer a copy for the record here.
Okay, thank you. And Mr. Cole anticipated one of my next questions when he asked about the drive. In the deed, does it specifically refer to any type of easement or right-of-way, and if there's any limitations on that easement or right-of-way?
Mm-hmm. Yes, it does grant me a right-of-way, but there is no restrictions on any easement.
Is that a parcel in itself that's taxed by the county? How is that?
It's on this other guy's land. For his land.
I formerly owned it.
Yeah,
he sold the land to another person in order to have access to his property in the deed. That's correct.
Now, last week we had something similar where we had a private road and people wanted to use a private road. Could you, and I asked a question of David Rutt,
right,
who was here, and I can't remember what kind of response I got, but I'll ask it again. What are our, as a council, what ability do we have to impose certain do's and don'ts or restrictions or uses on private roads? Do we have the ability to impose?
You did ask that question last week, and we have a law clerk doing some research on that issue. We have looked at that once before on a case that I believe was near Ms. Deaver's home,
right,
where there was a private road, and was there the ability of this council to put a condition requiring that applicant to in effect pave that road or improve that road. And we are definitely limited on what we can do to private property of another. So what we are looking at is to what extent we can do that.
Yeah, not so much site specific, but in
right,
general how we address private, because it is a good question that comes up from time. Thank you, sir.
So DelDOT would have to talk about the entrance, would it not?
DelDOT would address the entrance, but not the actual easement.
Road.
Right.
Mm-hmm. My understanding is there is a DLDOT letter in the planning and zoning packet, and that the actual road in question is a paved road, although I do not know the specifications of the paving.
About 10 feet wide, I think, shows right here, yeah.
440 feet long.
But if improvements were to be made, and both you attorneys could either take a pot shot at it, if improvements were required by DLDOT on this applicant, but he doesn't own the land, and the owner of the land says, no, what do you think, Mr. Brady, would happen at that point?
A chancery court case.
Is that a similar response, Mr. Moore? Or, I mean, does a private property owner, like we were just back a minute ago, so we're sitting here in a, I think, a dilemma. The dilemma is he doesn't own the entrance anymore.
Correct.
Right.
But it's a variety.
And can we do this? Can a guy say, wait a minute, I don't want an improvement like that on my easement that I've granted?
There's an obvious entrance there already. The question is it simply a residential entrance, and will that entrance need to be upgraded through DLDOT by the granting of this? And at that point, if they would require any type of improvement that would go on to surrounding property owners' land that was not in their own, in the right-of-way of DLDOT, that at that point, then the neighbor could deny that and say, I will not want that, then it would be up to the applicant to institute an action if they so desire.
But the applicant can't file a permit or request for a permit on somebody else's land without the consent of the applicant.
Except based upon, and I'm not sure what DLDOT's requirements would be, if they would require someone else to sign off on that permit, since he does have a right to use that property by the right-of-way agreement that was already referenced. So that may give him the ability to make the application. The question is, would that person have to agree to having it built? And it could be required simply in the right-of-way that DLDOT owns, not the private right-of-way, but along the road.
A number of good questions that maybe you all can research on for us.
Well, and hopefully we don't have to research them. It would be a matter for the applicant. If that came to that question, I think that would be an applicant's issue with that landowner and not involve the county at that point.
I agree with that. Okay.
It goes straight back to the garage.
But would DLDOT actually be involved in something that's got 2 or 3 cars a day? 2 cars?
Yes. It's required by ordinance, right?
For the entrance.
Yes.
Well, the entrance is there.
Required by, it's,
but I mean, but the entrance is already there now. Don't forget that.
Yeah, but if they change the use to commercial, not the zoning, but the use, right now it's residential use. If this were approved, it changes it to commercial. They would, DLDOT's one of the agencies they've got to get a sign off on for the commission to approve the site plan.
Right. And what Mr. Abbott's referring to, the use would be considered commercial for DLDOT purposes. They don't look in the definition between conditional use and non-conditional use. That's a completely separate definition.
All right. No more questions for me.
Did you have any more witnesses?
I've handed you up a witness list.
Oh, okay.
Just so you could have the spelling and the names.
Okay.
I'll have them come up.
Why don't you have them come up one at a time then?
Thank you, sir.